So we're at the start of our tour exploring the architecture and design of the Melbourne Arts Precinct. And the Melbourne Arts Precinct is home to a variety of creative, cultural and artistic organisations. Comprising more than 30 organisations and 50 venues, the precinct has one of the highest concentrations of art, cultural and creative organisations anywhere in the world. It's very impressive. And it presents more than 5,000 performances and exhibitions in a typical year. It's also home to many of Melbourne's cultural landmarks, iconic architecture and heritage buildings. And today we're going to take a stroll around and visit a handful of these. So the precinct stretches from Fed Square through to South Bank and beyond. It's situated on either side of the banks of the Birrarung, the River of Mists, on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Eastern Kulin Nation. And it's been a place of gathering for millennia. So really the Birrarung anchors the arts precinct. So we're standing here on its banks, and the soundscape we can hear is by Wurundjeri artist, Woiwurrung language specialist and researcher Brooke Wandon. Brooke, can you tell us a little about the soundscape and what this place means to you?
I suppose the first thing that I always think about is that the way that the Birrarung has changed and how perhaps over a really long time, well, in most recent history, we've kind of disregarded her. So that's always part of my inspiration for all of my practice at the moment. Actually, I can't stop thinking about that mighty, mighty river. And in Wurrung Dumbun Yanyilu, we can hear Woiwurrung speaking to the river, to the Birrarung, in her language, in one that she remembers and understands. And I suppose I'm trying to remember and understand a language that is hers, perhaps, and not even mine. I think that Birrarung is alive and we have much to learn from her. It's a family recording of Woiwurrung sharing, and this sound work rejuvenates our ancient oral tradition and strengthens our undeniable connection to country. And this was recorded at Corranderk, that was a place that attempted to kind of deny transmission of language, and so this is our resistance. And through this work, the language is carried all along Birrarung from Corranderk downstream here to Fed Square. Birrarung is impressive, over 200 kilometres in length. She surfaces at Borbor, rising up from within country where her journey begins. Then she flows through alpine marshes, shaping granite outcrops. She winds past ancient myrtle beech trees, towering mountain ash trees, wattles, and a plethora of ferns. She tumbles down waterfalls and smashes into rocks. She supports all life throughout Wurundjeri Woiwurrung country. When in flood, she spills over her banks, drenching the land. She sustains us all. I think that's when she's most impressive, actually. Yeah, I love a good flood. Birrarung sustains us all.
That's really beautiful to think about the Birrarung in that way. And I suppose if we think about the city of Melbourne, a lot of the recent history with the Birrarung has been trying to control its banks. And now I think we've got a better consideration of how we might work with the river, and I love to think that your artwork is kind of part of that, working with the river, speaking with the river. You talk about the river as a her, as a person. I think that's beautiful. What does that, I suppose, mean to you to give personhood to the river?
Well, it means a lot of things. I think, firstly, she is the giver of life. And what I mean by that is that we believe that, you know, Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people, that we come from that river. Our human form was made directly from the clay of the Birrarung. And interestingly, you know, there's been so many people that have lived all along Birrarung who have kind of dismissed her, called her stinky and slimy, you know, the good old Smelbourne vibes. But that is just the complete opposite for me. Interestingly, we don't give her enough credit. She feeds us all our drinking water. If you're living in and around Melbourne, you get your water from that river way upstream from the Upper Yarra Dam, from, you know, Maroondah Dam. You need to be cherishing this water that's keeping you alive.
Absolutely. And are there ways that we can all care for the river? Like what do you think we could do?
I think everybody just needs to do something small, because if we all did something small, collectively, that could create massive change. So whether that's something that you're doing at home, whether that's something you're doing when you're in the city, I'm not sure, but I don't think it's for me to say what to do. But I would suggest that people spend time with Birrarung, walk along her banks, maybe get to know where she has been blasted and altered and changed, perhaps get to know how she used to be, because she used to support a multitude of environments. She supported my ancestors and she still supports us now.
That's very true. I love the little bit in the soundscape where you're teaching little kids language. It's absolutely stunning. Can you talk a little bit about that moment?
Yeah, so I have been teaching my family language for about 2.5 years, and it's quite hilarious. It's 95% fun and then a teeny bit of actual learning. So I'm really fortunate to teach my children, excuse me, my grandchildren and a few other cousins hanging around the edges. And what's lovely about having the opportunity to expose language to my little people, which is my grandkids, is that for them it's just completely normal. It's just normal that when they're leaving my house after a visit that they, you know, say Yon Em Da Wa Nan, which means love you Nan. They get to learn it also at school, which is really lovely. So particularly my immediate family, this is the first time that people are learning their language alongside their ordinary education like literacy and numeracy. So that's something I'm really proud of. But the adorable giggle, yes, is my granddaughter, and I'm very proud to have her part of my work.
That's beautiful, really beautiful. We know that a lot of language has been lost. Where did you learn language, and you know, can we kind of reinstate language? What's your feelings around that?
Okay, how long have you got? But the very short summary is that in about 2017, I think it was, I landed a job teaching Woiwurrung as a Lhoti subject. And I loved that job. I was thrown in the deep end and I had to learn like one lesson ahead of the children. And through that process, I learnt that there is a huge amount of language in historical records, in a whole range of weird and wonderful places, actually. And then I just kind of got really obsessed. Then I got really upset and really angry that all of my language was locked within institutions. Fast forward to now, language for me has been the most nourishing, frustrating, wonderful kind of process that I have been involved in, and I just cannot seem to snap out of it, which is a good thing. I didn't learn any language as a child. My dad didn't teach me language because his dad didn't teach him language. So my grandfather was born at Corranderk on a mission, and unfortunately that broke that transmission of sharing of knowledge. I don't know about how I feel today about who should learn language and who shouldn't, because that's going to be the next question, I'm assuming. That's always the question. Should Aboriginal people just learn? Should everyone learn? I suppose it's like my answer before about what can we do about Birrarung. It's just kind of, if you have the opportunity to engage in language and you're invited by an Aboriginal person, I say go in with an open heart and open mind, but please let us do the work first.
I love the fact that we are seeing more and more language, like in our public spaces, in the naming of our buildings, all around. It makes me feel like, you know, we're moving towards a better future, and I really love it. Thank you for speaking with us today, Brooke.
Nungodjin, thanks.
Fantastic.